It has been a busy day. For many, it's been a day of reflection, grateful and certainly appreciative of the time that we had for our study this morning. Hopefully it was beneficial in the time we got to worship and praise our God. I'm glad we have this opportunity once again. But also, events of today included saying goodbye to one that was very near and dear to many that were here, and certainly as well to her family in the passing of Burlene Beck. That got me thinking a little as we were going through this week about saying goodbye. That's something we learn that we have to do as we go through life. Any relationships we have as we go through life, eventually we recognize one day we have to say goodbye. It's true in a lot of areas. It's true as we go about our normal days, we typically at some point maybe say goodbye as we head off to school, head off to work. Maybe we think about important events in life, such as graduating from high school or college or some other event, and now here's a young person in our home moving away, moving to a different area, maybe even going far away, and we're saying goodbye. It can be difficult. And of course, we think of having to say goodbye when one passes from this life. One that we love, one that we cherish and hold very near. And now we recognize they won't be with us here as we go through this life. And all of those events can be difficult. But I think it's so many times when we consider the events and the happenings of our lives, we recognize God's Word has some things to tell us about those events. And what about saying goodbye? Whether it's for a day, or more importantly, what about when we have to say goodbye from this life? Now, I think there's always some silver linings in events. Not saying they're joyous, certainly there are times of sorrow. And yet there are certain things we can remember when we have to say goodbye. It teaches us some things. I think it helps us become or remind ourselves to look at our lives. How are we living them? How are we going about our days? How are we conducting ourselves? What are our focuses? And I want to look at two very close relationships that we read about in the Bible and particularly deal with those two. And one is Jesus and His disciples, particularly His apostles that He's grown so close to and spent time with in His life. And now He's going to have to say goodbye as He comes around to about John chapter 14. But also a close relationship that has been developed between Paul and Christians at Ephesus. And we see him having to say goodbye to those elders that have come down to meet him from Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. And I think we can learn some things from these events. First thing I want to suggest to you is we have to say goodbye. It should teach us about thankfulness. You know, the easiest way in which we we'll never have to say goodbye to anyone, has never meet anyone, never have a relationship with anyone, which if you're born into this life, you're going to have a hard time doing that. But think about it. I don't want to say goodbye to my children. I don't want to send them off to school. I don't want to send them off to college. So don't have children. You won't have to say goodbye. I don't want to have to run that risk of maybe putting a child when he's much too young and going putting him in the grave. Don't have the child. I don't want to run the risk of living 50 years with somebody, growing so close to them that I've been married to for so long, and now they're gone. Don't marry them. Don't spend that time with them. Don't ever have that relationship. But then think of all that you'd miss out on in life. Think of all the joys and the times that you would have together that you would never have the opportunity to know about either. Saying goodbye becomes a part of those relationships. And so, yes, it's hard. But yet, as we have to say goodbye, there's something we reflect back on. And it said, I would never have to say goodbye if I had never met that person or spent time with that person or drawn close to that person. And so now as I'm saying goodbye, even though it's hard, nevertheless, I get to look back and see all that time that I got to spend with them. Something I try to remind the family every time I conduct a funeral is death can't take away memories. It can't take away the time that you got to share together, and so cherish those things. As you look back and you have to say goodbye, remember all the times you did get to spend together, all the times you did get to encourage one another, all the times maybe you went through some difficulties, but together you grew. And be thankful for each and every single one of those times. We're going to start around John chapter 13, and Jesus is beginning to prepare His disciples. I'm going away. John chapter 13, and we'll begin in verse 33. He says, "Little children, yet a little while am I with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you." He's beginning to prepare them mentally for His death, His burial, His resurrection, and eventually His ascension into heaven. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. I think the disciples and the apostles are shaken when Christ is put on the cross and He is now dead. Because when you find Christ resurrected from the dead and now He is going to reunite with these His apostles, where are they? They're locked in a house. They're fearful of the Jews. They don't know exactly at this point everything that's going on. There's a lot of confusion. Here's a man we've walked with for 3.5 years. He's trained us. He's taught us. We've grown so close to Him. And now He's gone. Jesus was beginning to prepare them for this time. If you go over also to John chapter 16, verse 5 through 7. He says, "But now I go my way to Him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." He's trying to remind them, it is best that I go away. "But nevertheless, because I am going away, sorrow hath filled your heart." It's difficult. Here's a man surely they loved. Here's a man that's speaking to some of his closest friends, among those apostles, Peter, James, John, those that he has spent so much extra time with. They have had an extra special or close relationship. And he's having to say goodbye even to them. But yet I seriously doubt that any of those 12, any of those 3 especially that were so close to Him, would look back and say, "I wish we never spent that time together." Think of all the benefit that they had gained from that time they had been with Christ. The things they had become to know, the things that they had been instructed, the opportunities now they were going to have to go forth into the world and proclaim the saving news of the gospel. Man, it was hard. But at the same time, they could look back and be thankful for that time they did get to spend together. They could recognize the joys and the benefits that had come from that. But also, I think of Acts chapter 20. And we'll be flipping back and forth some between these sections if you want to mark them. But now also in Acts chapter 20, even as was read for us some of this tonight, Paul and these Ephesian elders are going through much the same difficulties. Now they're having to say goodbye. Acts 20, verse 37 and 38. "They all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship." It was difficult. Here was a man that had spent a lot of time with them. You back up at Acts chapter 20 and you could look at verse 31. And he reminds them, "Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." There's a close relationship. We spent 3 years together. We grew very close as friends, but also spiritually. I cared for you. I loved you. I was teaching you all of that time. And now you see that they're sorrowful. Because Paul has to go his way. He knows what he's going to face. He knows some of the events that await him. He knows he's about to go through a lot more struggles. It may never be this way again. Sometimes, you know, we have opportunities to say goodbye to someone. Other times it comes very suddenly. And both are very difficult, both are very hard. And yet even as we say goodbye, we look back and we reflect and we remember, but I got to know that person. I got to share time with that person. I got to learn from that person. And that's something we can be eternally thankful for. That's something those memories, again, death can't take away. Those something that we can keep with us. So even as we have to say goodbye in life, remember that. I'm thankful. Thankful for that time we spent together. But not only that, I think not only does it make us thankful, it should make us diligent, watchful. Knowing that I'm going to have to say goodbye is going to make me appreciate the time that I have together right now. Maybe it makes me look at other relationships. And I've said goodbye to one and I've recognized, you know, there are some things I would look back on and say, I wish I had done that differently. Or I wish I could do this. Or I wish I could do that. It might be too late now in that relationship if we're saying goodbye. But we can look around and realize that there's a lot of other relationships I have in life. What do I need to do with them? What kind of time am I spending? How am I thinking about the things that I am doing? Especially in, well, even as we're maybe just temporarily saying goodbye, we can be reminded of the surprises, the uncertainties of life. We don't always know exactly where our path, our course might lead us. And sometimes when we say goodbye, we're not sure whether we'll see that person again or not. Sometimes we may very well be certain, because it may either be at death or shortly before death, and we're having to say goodbye. And it reminds us what James taught us in James chapter 4 and verse 14. He says, "You know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." He says there's great uncertainty to life. We oftentimes like to plan everything, set everything out, and think, you know, I can do everything just so. And I'll make all these plans and I'll try to arrange everything. And James is really reminding us how foolish it is if we're leaving God out of those plans. If we're not recognizing the uncertainty of the life in which we live. So I'm often reminded as we come to something such as a funeral or some other occasion in which we're saying goodbye, be diligent, be watchful, be careful how we're using our time in life. Paul would tell us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." He says, how are you using the time that you have? You know, maybe you are saying goodbye to one, but are there not others that you still have a relationship with? Maybe it helps us appreciate those even more. Maybe it goes back and makes us remember, this life is uncertain, yes. So I need to think about how I'm spending my time in this life. I need to think about whether I'm being faithful to God or not. I need to think about how I'm dealing with others in my life. I need to think about, maybe is there any way that I can deal with someone else a little differently? To restore that relationship, to not have to look back and say, well, I wish I had done this, I wish I had done that, I wish I had done these things differently. Recognize the specialness, the importance of every moment that we have with someone and use it wisely. Jesus recognized the importance of using time wisely. He would say in John chapter 4 and verse 34, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." He would say on another occasion in John chapter 9 and verse 4, "I work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." You look at the life of Jesus, and he's going about here with his disciples and others that he's teaching. As he's going about doing the work of his Father in heaven, he recognized the importance of time and using it wisely, of being diligent, of being watchful. Again, I recognize this in the relationship that Paul had with the Christians at Ephesus. And he's recounting his time here, back up to Acts chapter 20 and verse 19. And he's reminding us, I recognized the value of time. I didn't want to waste it. I didn't want to waste opportunities while I was there with you. And so he would say in Acts chapter 20, verse 19 and 20, he was serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Jump down to verse 25 through verse 27. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. As Paul was able to say goodbye to the elders here at Ephesus, he could look back on his time there in Ephesus, not with great regret. Oh, I should have spent more time with you. I should have taught you so much more. I should have made better use of the opportunities that I had available. He was able to look back and say, I spent that time wisely, diligently, watchful, because I taught you that which you needed to know. I understood the importance of preaching unto you the gospel and not holding back anything that you needed to know, that you needed to understand, but proclaiming unto you all the counsel of God. And so when it came time to say goodbye, he was able to do so probably still. He may have been that among that number that was crying, that was sorrowful. These were special people to him. But as he looked back, he didn't say, oh, how I wish it were different. He was able to say, I did that which I know was right. I taught you as I should. I'd made good use of that time. And so let that be a reminder to us as well. When we have to say goodbye, let it remind us how important it is to use our time wisely, to cherish the moments we have with one another. But not only is it going to teach us thankfulness for the time that we get to spend together, it's going to remind us to be diligent in how we use our time together. But I believe also when we have to say goodbye, it reminds us at least of the possibility of a reunion. Have you ever considered the fact that if you never had to say goodbye, you could never say hello again? If you never had to say goodbye, you could never be reunited. You see, as we say goodbye to someone, oftentimes in life, we're looking forward once again to that time when we get to be together. We look forward to a time when we're going to be reunited. Oftentimes we hope that's here on this side of eternity. But also it needs to remind us that even if it's not here, there is a possibility of a reunion in eternity. I can't say that certainly it's the favorite thing I ever do. Can't say that I enjoy it. But it is an honor and it is a privilege to be able to speak at the funeral of someone that's lived a faithful life. To be able to say with greater confidence, here is a person that if we continue to live faithfully, we can be reunited with eternally. That was the joy that David knew. There was a peace that no one else around him could understand. David, here is a young son of yours that has been sick, that has been weak, that you've known is about to die. You've been fasting. You've been praying. So much so, nobody wants to tell you now he's dead. So much so no one wants to have to inform you of that, probably for fear of not really knowing how he's going to take that news. And yet he realizes, by the way people are around him, the child is dead. And his actions next surprised everyone more than anything else. That he could get up, wash, change his clothes, go sit down and request to eat. He said, we don't get it. We don't understand. Why are you not now mourning? The child is gone from you. And he explains it to them in 2 Samuel 12 and verse 23. He says, but now is he dead? Maybe there was still some glimmer of hope. David was praying unto God that perhaps that child might be able to live, that the punishment that had been caused or sent upon David, maybe it might be reversed. But he tells them in verse 23, now is the child dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? It's not going to happen. We're not going to bring that one that we love back to life again. Most oftentimes, though we maybe might think it off, most of the time we wouldn't want to. Bring them back to the pain and the suffering that maybe they knew. Bring them back to the troubles and the heartaches of life. He says, I can't bring him back again. And he goes on in verse 23 and he says, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. David knew something of the resurrection. David knew something of eternal life. He knew something of the innocency of a child. He knew without a doubt the status of that innocent soul. He's returned to God that gave him that soul. And I can't go to him again, or I can't bring him to me again, but that doesn't remove the possibility of reunion. It restores it. He says, now I look forward to going and being with him. That same hope is extended in these examples we're looking at. Go back to John chapter 14 and 15 and 16. Go to John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. And yes, as Jesus is preparing to leave this life, it's a sad occasion. But he's able to comfort them with the hope of being together again. But you'll also notice it's contingent. It's contingent on their continuing to be faithful. There's some conditions there. And he's going to say, beginning in John 14 and verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. See what he's saying? You have the opportunity here. We're going to be reunited. Yes, I'm going away, but I am coming to receive you unto myself again. It would say in John 16 and verse 22, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. It says there's your joy, there's your hope. Because you are in me. And I'm going to come again for my faithful, for my disciples. He says in John 14 and verse 19, because I live, ye shall live also. He's reminding them of the greatest hope that they would ever have in life, and that is that of eternal life in heaven with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and all the faithful throughout time. What about Paul? So we go back to his meeting here with the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20. You see at least here some hope now that is also there. Because now he has warned them. Verse 25, you shall see my face no more. But now also going down to verse 28. He is warning them, take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock. Continue in faithfulness. Continue in God's Word. Verse 32, and now I commend you, brethren, to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. What's the promise? That as you continue faithfully with God, you have an inheritance, not just with God, but with all them that are sanctified. You have an inheritance that we share. You have a reward that we will share together. That was the hope, again, that Paul would extend to Timothy. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that last day. And not to me only, but unto all them that also love His appearing. We say goodbye sometimes in life. And though it's hard, though it's sorrowful, there is comfort for the one that is in Christ. To the Christians at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 18, he says, wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. What words? Verse 13 through 17. The words that promise Jesus is coming again and the dead are going to be resurrected, and the dead and the living shall be called unto heaven to be with Him eternally. Those that have continued faithfully with Him. And so if we've said goodbye to someone in this life, nevertheless, if they've continued faithfully, there is a great hope, there is a joy for them that they can enjoy that eternal life. But hopefully then, as we reflect on having to say goodbye, we're going to learn about faithfulness. We're going to learn I can be with that person again. And I can be with God if I continue faithfully with Him. If I continue to walk according to His Word. As we say goodbye in life, I hope, even though it's sorrowful, even though it's hard, nevertheless we'll take the time to stop. Take this time to stop and look around a little bit and ask ourselves some questions or learn some lessons. Learn some lessons about being thankful for those that we get to spend this life with, those that we get to know. Learn some lessons about respecting the time that we have and valuing it. Being diligent in how we spend that time. What we do with it. What we try to teach others. What kind of example we're trying to be. And learn a lesson about faithfulness. About reuniting. Though we say goodbye, nevertheless, there is a great resurrection day coming. And at that resurrection day, also a judgment. But unto all of those that have continued to walk with God, for all of those that are in Christ, it is a reuniting with God's family. Those that are faithful unto Him. And so we can have the hope, the joy, the expectation of meeting again. The only way we're going to have that then is if we continue faithfully. The only way we have that hope is by first being in Christ. That we are baptized into Christ. We put Him on in baptism, Galatians 3 and verse 27. Well, that follows first having heard His Word and believed it so that we would put it into action. Repenting of our sins as He commands all men everywhere to do, Acts 17 and verse 30. Turning from them and deciding I'm going to follow God. Confessing Christ, that He is indeed the Son of God. He died for our sins and yet He lives again. There's a great hope then of resurrection. That we're going to be baptized into Christ. Our sins are washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16. And Romans chapter 6 reminds us that it figures the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. We rise to walk as a new man, and as we continue faithfully with Him, there's another and far greater resurrection we look forward to at the last day, when then we can spend an eternity in heaven. But again, it only comes then as we continue to live that faithful life. We continue to walk with Him and not get discouraged and turn back, not get sidetracked by the things of the world, the cares and thoughts of all of those things that can go on around us. But I'm going to stay focused because I want to see those that are so precious to me And I want to spend that eternity with my God, with my Creator. If I stumble and fall along that path, that's not the end of the road. He extends again the opportunity of forgiveness if we are willing to confess those things. 1 John 1 and verse 9, to repent of those things. Acts chapter 8, even as the Ethiopian eunuch did. That the thought of thine heart might be forgiven thee. And we continue walking faithfully with Him. I hope you have that joy tonight. If not, why not make the decision even tonight? To either be baptized into Christ for the first time or to restore that relationship with Him, that we can look forward to that eternal home, that reuniting with so many that are so precious to us. Make that decision even now as together we stand and sing. Oh,